はい。
We're in good company. I brought a whole bunch of guys with me. I've got the master teacher. I've got Jesus. I've got Mary Baker Eddy. I have the Buddha.
Yes.
I have Dr. somebody. Evolutionary scientist. We've got some great guys with us.
Okay.
Well, to help you in your process of laughing away the cause of an objective world. Huh? I hear someone laughing. There's one guy laughing.
Yeah.
It doesn't take any time. It's not difficult. Huh? You don't have to study it for a long time. So thank you for showing up, and the simplicity of the lesson for today is the certain fact that you cannot change what is your constant and changeless state. That's the foundation of your Course in Miracles, isn't it? See or no?
Yes.
See, senor. Yeah, you cannot change who you are. That's a miracle, isn't it? Students, class, hello? That's a miracle. You cannot change who you are, therefore, everything you think you perceive and think about it is a mistake. That's it. That's the entirety of the lesson. Now we can laugh and go home. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. You're a mistake. It's a mistaken idea. That's what a miracle is. So you're in the process of discovering the totality of the mistake. Isn't that right? And that's what we call awakening. And I'm going to read all kinds of great things to you if I get a chance. But all we have is a relationship situation in an objective perception of what you think is someone else outside of yourself. Isn't that? That's the condition. But inherent in that condition is all the suffering contained in the condition of being a human being who lives a little life. You got too cold last night, some of you guys. Well, a few weeks ago it was too warm for some of you guys. And then you get hungry. You have to sleep for one third of your life. You have to go to the bathroom at inconvenient times. People are annoying you, doing things you don't want them to do. You have too much money, you have too little money. You turn the TV on and everyone is attacking each other. And and what happens? You look in the mirror and your hair is going grey, your teeth are falling out. There is only one end to being who you think you are, right? So the basis for the lesson today is that is impossible. If you want to have an association with me, that's impossible. That's all that I do. I offer an association or a relationship in time in which the possibility of sharing an idea of your own perfection becomes possible, becomes real to you. That's all that we do. But in order for that, to have that association with me, You must recognize everything that is not true as not true, as meaningless, as non-existent, so that it can disappear into the nothingness from which it came. Is that right? Does it sound a little bit like A Course in Miracles? Yeah. I hope so, because my assignment is to teach A Course in Miracles, as it is your assignment. If you're here as a student of Jesus in the Course in Miracles, you cannot not embark on this course without becoming a teacher. Right? You have to teach, because you're teaching all the time anyway, aren't you? Yeah. And either you will teach an instant of perfection, or you will teach time, suffering, and death. And including that is sickness, old age, and all the meaningless thoughts that occupy your mind. Right? I can hear you now. Everyone there. You're constantly active in the judgmental nature of an objective world in which there seems to be a gap between yourself and everything that you perceive. Okay, let's read something. No? Okay, this is chapter 12. Chapter 11. Section 8. Chapter 11, section 8. Just translating. You guys? Yeah. Good. And we'll just do the first paragraph. Are you ready? No. I got you without realizing it myself. Huh? You'll never be ready. So you say, yeah, too much. I love this talk. This is a mind train. Huh?
You're always too slow.
But it's already good. There's no way you can figure this out. You're never going to get it. That's a great way. I love it. Matthew said, you're never going to get it.
Oh!
It was devastating news. It was the best news that you could hear. You can't get this. I mean, I'll get to the right end, to the end of the class, if you like. I can save you an immeasurable amount of time. There's nothing to get. I could save you a lot of struggle and effort in the attempt to understand what's not understandable. You have a diamond. Jewel of some kind. Your third eye. See, too simple, isn't it? Huh? It doesn't take any time to be happy, because you are happy. It takes time to have a thought about it. See, that's your problem. I just described your problem. Now you keep missing it. You're thinking about it. Too late. You missed it. How do you laugh away the cause of an objective world? Huh? You've got to learn to laugh at your own meaningless thoughts. Is this a mind training or isn't it? Can anybody hear me? Is this a mind training? Yes. It's a mind training. Are you training your mind? Why do you have to train your mind? Are these new guys coming here? There's a fundamental recognition that the mind is the cause of your experience. Right? I mean, there's a very fundamental prerequisite. The mind is the cause of your experience. You begin with this lesson and then you realize that the mind is the cause of everything that you think is real. The mind is your mind causes and maintains the world that you believe is life, reality. That's the condition in which you find. That's an impossible condition
in which there's no, seemingly, no way out. Until what? Until the resurrection occurs. Right? And then we can worship a guy who found a way out, but you're still here. We're under a fundamental recognition that it is your mind that needs to change, not something else. Right? How to be careful now. If you're having thoughts, yeah, you must recognize that it's having thoughts that is the reason why you are not laughing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now you can begin to laugh, but you're not laughing.
That's very funny.
I'm not laughing, I'm having a good time. There's a lot of serious face, long faces. I don't even know if that's particularly funny. My thoughts have great value too. I have come to wonderful conclusions within the privacy of my own contractual, conceptual process. Huh? Yeah. And we have some good conceptual minds. We like good conceptual minds because you can hear it. Whether you can actually undergo the process that the master teacher demonstrated every moment into a realization of the certainty of yourself as God created you is another question, right? But the fundamental is that the thoughts that you think are not true. Not one of them is true. Now what are you going to do? Now you're screwed. You're screwed. Tell the truth. I've got you into an association with me in which you don't know what to do next. Right? Good. That's a good place to, isn't it? Now we can have a cup of tea and anything becomes possible. Everything becomes possible. Even the disappearance of something that's not true becomes possible. Huh? What, is that what you want? Well, let me think about that. You don't know what you want, do you? Huh? But at least in the mind training, we can train you to recognize that you do not want conflict, an existential condition of suffering and death, which is the condition of being a human being. Huh? Or maybe there is something else that I can discover when. Yeah. Yeah. Many of you are having your moments of discouragement. Sometimes I'm thinking about it. I want to continue thinking. I've got to save this for later when I get back to the privacy of my hotel room. And I'm going to write up notes and Facebook all my friends. What I think about this one guy attempting to teach a course in marriage. Good, what did we read? I'll give you one sentence. This is a very simple course. How many times does it say that? It says it all out, doesn't it? A very simple course. Well, then how long to have it? Why does it take so long? Perhaps you do not feel you need a course which in the end teaches only reality is true. But do you believe it? Okay, so we can skip to the manual now. Now that we've read that, we're going to skip to the manual. Clarification of terms, true perception, and knowledge. True perception, knowledge. And that's paragraph three.
We could read the whole thing.
But let's read paragraph three. Knowledge is not the remedy for false perception. The one correction possible is false perception. Did you get it? Clarification of terms number four through perception. The one correction possible for false perception must be what? True perception. This is called in training your mind to an experience of true perception. Right? I mean, you're all students, and I know I'm just teaching or barking at the choir. You can't translate it. It's always funny with English. Barking at the choir. The bark choir. My mother sang the bark choir. You know? We were howling at the moon one night. No, bark choir. It sang only bark. The one correction possible for false perception must be true perception. It will not endure, but for the time it lasts, it comes to heal. You want me to find it for you?
No,
sir.
Can you say again? Which is the
clarification. It will come to heal. For true perception is a remedy with many names. Forgiveness, salvation, atonement, true perception, they are all the same. The one beginning with the end to lead to oneness far beyond themselves. True perception is the means by which the world is safe from sin. For sin does not exist, and it is this that true perception sees. Wow, it's not in there. So how do you learn to laugh away the cause for an objective world? This is the remedy. You must learn to forgive. That's all you came here for, was to learn the true nature of forgiveness. I'll give you a definition of forgiveness. Everything you think you perceive as a mistake. Is that a good definition of forgiveness? It's a mistake. And that's all you need to do is recognize the entirety of the mistake. And then what will happen? You'll perceive the entirety of the mistake. Okay. That's all you need to do. You don't have to do any more than that. Huh? Because everything else is happening anyway. When you see the meaninglessness and the emptiness of what you think you thought before was real, and you stop at it as the effect of, you will become very happy. You'll discover that you cannot suffer, that you cannot be sick, that you cannot be in conflict, and that you cannot die. Are you interested? Because if you're interested, it comes with a cost, doesn't it? Right? And the question is, are you willing to pay the price of your interest in relinquishment of suffering and death? That's all. Are you willing to pay the price? Well, no, I think I want to maintain my identity of self and continue to live the life as a human being and enjoy my meaningless thoughts that I have loved for so long and that have kept me from the loneliness of this rotting prison house, as he calls it, that you call your home. Good. It is a joke.
It's a joke.
Thank you. I came here to join you in laughing away the course of something that's not true. And we can enjoy that because it's not true. And that is being demonstrated in each miracle of your recognition of who the other guy is not. It's never what you think, is it? You're recognizing who the guy is not, so that you can see who he is. That's all. I'm teaching a course. Does it sound a bit like a course in miracles? I hope so. Let's read some more. This is paragraph 4. The world stands like a block before Christ's face. So how can you see Christ's face? Well, the world will have to disappear, won't it? You will have to see beyond it, see through it, see it as it is. That's the mind training. But true perception looks on it as nothing more than just a fragile veil, so easily dispelled it can last no longer than one instant. It is seen at last for only what it is. Now it cannot fail to disappear, but now there is an empty place made clean and red, where destruction was perceived. The face of Christ appears, and in that instant the world forgot. The time forever ended as the world spins it into nothingness from where it came. This is an extraordinary, an extraordinary lesson, because it contains the complete release of your mind from the containment in an infinitely small and meaningless maze in time. Is that, did I quote him closely? Where is that happening? It's happening in your association with me or your association with anyone, isn't it? Why not? It's a Course in Miracles. And what he promises is here and now. And it's available to you in its entirety, if that's what you want. And okay, yes, it takes a little practice, but you begin to enjoy it. You actually enjoy the loss of suffering. That's an accomplishment, isn't it? You've been enjoying suffering for a long time, and now you go, oh, maybe it's more enjoyable to be free of suffering. Yeah, do you have a responsibility? You've discovered you have a responsibility? What is that? You're responsible for everything you see? If you suffer, everything suffers along with you? If Christ is crucified, who's crucifying him? And can it be contained? No. So, the simple lesson contained in this course, let's read it now, because there's no time to mess around. If I can find it, we'll read it. There you go, that's a good one. That's chapter 12, paragraph 2. I'm just enjoying the moment of it disappearing. I don't know. Why not? Finally, you don't have much left, you know, in which to find enjoyment except letting it all disappear. We have evolved in our need to satisfy our cravings. Finally, you crave for the singular nature of your own mind. You actually do love God, even though you've been denying Him since the beginning of time. Huh? He's going to say that your denial of the love of God is actually a demonstration of how much you love God. Try and get your head around that one. I've got a good question for you. Huh? Are you ready? Too late. Can you know a world of pain, sickness, and death and know God? That's a question, isn't it? It's a good question. Are they mutually exclusive ideas? Or have you, do you have a God of death, sickness, and pain? I know guys who go to church on Sunday and they drink blood and they worship a God of death. You know that? Do you know why? Do you know why that occurred? Do you know why guys do that? Huh? Because it's completely unacceptable that death is of your own making. That's a completely unacceptable idea. Why the Dominicans and everyone else say the Course in Miracles is the work of the devil and it's evil and you should burn it. Huh? It's exactly why. Huh? You cannot accept that you are the cause of the condition in which you find yourself and God is not. Huh? But that's your salvation. That's in the introduction to A Course in Miracles, isn't it? Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Here lies the peace of God. Huh? Well, that seems to be in time. Yes. In time, you will die and suffer and be guilty, etc. Huh? But you're not in time. Huh? So that's all we're training you to do. It find the timeless within time. Where do you find it? In a true association in which you learn to welcome yourself and your brother as you are. Is that right? No. If you already knew, you wouldn't need to do that. But you do need to discover by asking to be shown your child, that it be revealed to you. Do you see Christ with the body's eyes? Thank you. because I'm going to read to you that the body's eyes have been evolved. You made them. You grew a pair of eyes. Unless you're a creationist, but Christians now teaching creationism. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But the evolutionary nature evident in the story that you're telling me about yourself as a human being, right? And you're digging up the evidence for it all over the place, is that you evolved to the condition in which you find yourself, and your evolutionary process contains all the animal steps in your evolutionary maturity, right? To become a praying animal, what we call Homo sapiens. So you have evolved a pair of eyes, and it's a great science to attempt to understand how that evolved in you. You evolved a pair of eyes so you can perceive. Right? You have a walking, talking mechanism that enables you to perceive something that's not there. You love him more in the course of an objective love. It's necessarily involved, you can't wake up without understanding the nature of perception and the condition, how you found yourself here, and what is occurring within your mind that maintains and sustains the condition of the denial of your own eternal reality, right? So you have evolved a mechanism. You taught yourself to perceive an obstacle to your own reality. And we call it life, don't we? Huh? It's life. And there you are again. There's no way out. Two things are certain, right? Death and taxes. You can avoid paying one, but you can't avoid the other. Okay, we're going to read chapter 12, section 4, Seeking and Finding, paragraph 7, sentence 5. Everybody okay? Are you okay with it? Everybody thinks they know what love. I've got, we've got a lot of big Course in Miracles teachers with us this weekend, how loving they are. Love is the answer. And I don't have any argument with that at all. Except one. Do not know what love is. Your belief that you know what love is why you're not laughing away the cause of something that's not true. I mean, I read it, you will know what love is when you see everything that it is not. Everything that you perceive and conceive is not love. I mean, did I say it? Does Jesus say it? Yeah. Get it. Crucify him, torture him, kill him. Huh? We can't stand it. We don't want to hear that. Huh? The condition, you can't. This is the undoing of the foundation of the establishment of an identity of self. It's not true. And because you have invested yourself in something that is not true, the truth now is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to your mind. Look at you. How long have you been studying it? How many times are you going to go through the workbook? It's fundamentally unacceptable, even when you read it. And, you close your eyes and you open your eyes and then, the old program clicks in. It's fundamentally acceptable to the program nature, learned perception that you have evolved in time in the condition in which you seem to exist. But in the twinkling of an eye, it's undone. Right? That's what I came here to teach. So I better read something. This is chapter 12, section 4, paragraph 7, sentence number 5. Are you with me? No, if not, I don't understand. Yeah, it starts with everything. Yeah? Are we all in the same place? Everything you perceive as the outside world is merely your attempt to maintain your ego identification. For everyone believes that identification is salvation. And that's beautiful. That's a great lesson. It's a great lesson. You're just going to stop looking around to see what the other guys are doing. Huh? You're going to suddenly take yourself a bit more seriously. And the focus of your mind is going to turn to yourself, to your mind, to the activity of what's occurring within yourself. Never mind what seems to be happening. What you call an objective world. It's not there, it's not true. It's only a projection of your own mind. Yet consider what has happened. The thoughts do have consequences to the thinker. You have become at odds with the world as you perceive it, because you think it is antagonistic to it. You have to defend yourself and make an adjustment. This is a necessary consequence of what you have done. You have projected outward what is antagonistic to what is inward, and therefore you would have to perceive it this way. That is why you must realize that your hatred is in your mind and not outside it, before you can get rid of it, and why you must get rid of it before you can perceive the world as it really is. Are you telling me then that the world I perceive is my own hatred? I'm not saying it, but that's what it says. That is what it says. Huh? What you think you perceive is an attack on reality, your reality, and that's why this course will be learned entirely or not at all. Huh? But you have to be willing to go through fear, don't you? The terror of discovering the true nature of what is occurring. It's called awakening. Huh? Because you forgot, and in your forgetting you fell asleep. Huh? That's why you need a miracle. And that's why miracles are your inheritance. Because of who you are and because of what God is. You will give them because finally you have no choice. Huh? Whether you are a Buddhist or a Sikh or an American Indian, you cannot escape from death except by recognizing that there is a singular cause and then it's not true. Wow. Wow. Yeah. And there's nothing outside of you. If there's nothing outside of you, then you can learn to love yourself. It's paragraph 8. I said before that God so loved the world that he gave it to his only begotten Son. God does love the real world. Those who perceive its reality cannot see the world of death. The death is not of the real world, in which everything reflects the eternal. God gave you the real world in exchange for the one you made out of your own split mind, and which is the symbol of death. For if you could really separate yourself from the mind of God, you would die.
I don't present myself as a healer particularly. I know we have some Christian healers. The reason I don't present myself as a healer particularly is that I don't see you sick. You've got to be sick to be a healer. Yeah, someone's got to be sick for me to be a healer, right? No. I heal because I know there's no such thing as sickness. I know that you cannot die. This is your mission, isn't it? In the Course in Miracles, to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Huh? Why? Yeah. Because you made sickness and death yourself and therefore can abolish both. Yes, well, I'm just circling around. I'm just circling around. How long do we have? Just circling on that, the same idea. I'll probably just keep talking until everything disappears. It has disappeared. If I keep at this long enough, you'll finally hear it. Because they have either got to hear this, or go to the party, or something. Finally, you don't have any choice. The great secret about A Course in Miracles is that you have no choice. Yeah. Well, that's why there's no one here, except a few guys. Huh? Huh? Everyone thinks they've got a lot of choices. Whether to buy a blue boat or a red boat, get a motorcycle or a convertible, whatever your choices seem to be. Go with the redhead or the blonde. You really don't have a choice about it. And if that has become very poignantly clear, we can't translate poignantly, but it's become very self-evident to you, your own need to find a solution to the unmanageable conditions of being human being. What was I saying? Then you will see that you really don't have a choice. We're presented as a choice, don't we? You must make a choice for God. And you must make a choice for God because you have already chosen against God. Okay, where did we get to? God does love the real world. And if you perceive the real world, you will not see the world of death. That's all you need to do. Are you comfortable? I'm just doing a yoga. You stuff guys that were upside down, you remember? Kundalini came out of a different
Okay, let's just complete that. Paragraph 9. You stop laughing and we'll read it. The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you're willing to accept even death to deny your father. Yet he would not have so, so it is not so. You still cannot will against him. That is why you have no control over those worlds you made. It is not a world of will, because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God. This desire is not his will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, and without meaning of any kind. But I'm determined to find meaning, for it is made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind because you are afraid of it.
These are the sentences you skip over.
The world is made out of what I do not want, projected from my mind, and I'm afraid of it. But what happened? I desire it. It has an attraction. That's a good definition of an objective world. It's an idea of evil that can never change and will be forever desirable. It will attract you like nothing else. We call it the fierce attraction of guilt. I've given up everything except I'm left with a cow. Could be anything. We all have our own sacred cat. That wasn't fun. Where it is made out of what you do not want, projected from your mind because you are afraid of it. Yet, are you ready for this sentence? Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with your real salvation. Do not believe it is outside of yourself, but only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it. Well, you do have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision. And all that we're trying to do, really, if you want to have an association with me, hopefully that will be an acceleration of the energetic frequency of yourself, right? In your association of your body, mind, emotions, thoughts, hair, everything. You're all in it, right? We're hoping to stir up the sleeping dead nature of yourself. You've been sleeping and dead for a long time, and cause what a quickening, an excitement, a passionate love for truth, rather than the meaningless projection of something you don't want. Right? And if we can bring about that accelerated experience of yourself energetically in your own mind, you can begin to recognize the decision-making process that's occurring in your mind. Your mind is constantly making decisions that you're not aware of. And when you become aware of it, the decisions that you're making, then you have a choice. And then you go, no, not this, not that, not this. I don't want to hurt myself any longer. Is that all right? I love meeting. I really love meeting in a scenario like this, because you've got nowhere to go. And it's happening. Despite your best intentions, it still happens. Right? It's going to happen. Anyway, simply because you came in the room and you put yourself on the chair. You voted with your feet, or with your ass. Both cheeks down. Something with the chair. But not for the reasons you think. It's working because it's working all the time anyway. Isn't it? And if you're willing to play the game of salvation, we can have a lot of fun. Because it's real. And the body is not your home. You are only life. And we share an instance in which that recognition will become and is becoming very real. That's the only thing I care about. The only thing I would want to share with you. Who would want to share death? More death. Huh? You want to share some more death? Well, find somebody who wants to share some more death. But that's not me. Huh? I'm only interested in sharing eternal life and immortality and the resurrection. And the end of all suffering, pain, sickness, contained in an idea that's not true. That's A Course in Miracles, and that's available to you in the simplicity and immediacy of your innate need to overlook the obstacle to the awareness of the face of Christ that is everywhere. When you open your mind, the living Christ is all there is to see. That's all there is to hear, all there is to touch, all there is to taste, and go. I never said that. If you recognize that all the attack you perceive is in your own mind and nowhere else, you will at last have placed its source, and where it begins, it must end. But you do the workbook, right? What's lesson number one? I've forgotten. What is it? No. And what's lesson 23? Thank you. The rest of you will have to stay behind later. You forget. The imperative for this is that your learned perception that you've taught yourself, that you have evolved, right? I mentioned that and I didn't read it. I don't need to, but I can if you want me to. You have evolved an ability to perceive. Right? But it always escapes you that perception is fundamentally a judgmental process. It's judgment. All perception is judgmental. It's judgment based on your past learning and what are you doing? You're justifying an idea about yourself that's not true. It's an attack. That's why the workbook begins by teaching you the nature of what you perceive is not true. There's nothing there to perceive. That's why it doesn't mean anything. Right? You've given it meaning, therefore you see it, and it's real. It's an attack on your own reality. That's why you need to escape from the perception of an objective world is all that you need do in this mind training of A Course in Miracles. It's a fundamentally destructive ability that you taught yourself. Of course, it's destructive to the wholeness of your own mind. It's an attack upon yourself. Here, I can read that to you from the workbook if you want. You want me to find it? I'm not going to. Good if you want. You can find it. Now, do you begin to see why forgiveness is the only alternative you have? Forgiveness is an alternative to the perception that you taught yourself. It isn't that one of the not in an exchange. I'm not in an exchange with you, objectively. My function is to only give. What do you give? Something that you didn't make. Something that you didn't evolve. Something that's always been true. Huh? Well, we're not going to attempt to describe it, because words are meaning, aren't they? In the presence of your holiness. It's not holiness, because holiness is not a condition that can observe, is it? Holiness is who you are, being yourself in the universe, and that you cannot not give. But in the condition in which you find yourself as a student of A Course in Miracles, you must learn that that is what you want to give. Because with what you give, you identify with it, don't you? What you give, that's what you are. If you give an objective message, because you want to establish a little gap or space or time in which to be separate and to enjoy the attack upon yourself in which you suffer as a victim of the world which you perceive. Look at what I'm doing to you. Blah, blah, blah. If I get to blah, 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 it's a good sign. What did we read? That all attack is in your own mind, but also in the same place lies your salvation. That's all we need to teach. The altar of God, where Christ abided, is there. You have defiled the altar, but not the world. That Christ has placed the atonement on the altar for you. So bring only your perceptions of the world to this altar, for it is the altar to treat. There you will see your vision change. There you will learn to see truly. And from this place, where God and His Son dwell in peace, and where you are welcome, you will look out in peace and behold the world truly. Yet, to find the place, you must relinquish your investment in the world as you project it, allowing the Holy Spirit to extend the real world to you from the altar of God within. Amen.
Amen.
What?
Amen means let it be. Let it be so. It is so. It is true. Ah, thank you for that. Okay. We'll have a little quiet moment. Strawberry fields. The Beatles. It's like Elvis. Huh? Will never die, right? They will never die. It's there. An idea in your mind. You came here voluntarily.
Then no one forced you to come in and said, you know, it's $50, go on the healing center if you need it or anything. You came here, you're willing to take a chance on an experimental, new experimental process. It's only been around for a few weeks. Of course, the miracle is only just arrived. And we're experimenting with the practical nature of discovering the immediate simplicity of the complete escape from the condition in which you found yourself previously. So coming in here, it's called whatever your name is. Say your name. Yeah, that's the condition in which you found yourself previously. And in a dark dream of having to learn how to survive and exist and succeed and find moments of joy and happiness in a place in which you're not at home. And all we're offering here is a moment of remembering home. Because home is not some other place or time. Home is awakening to the eternal in the present, isn't it? Yeah, you're not going to go anywhere. When you wake up, you don't go anywhere. Do you?
There's nowhere to go. Right. You thought you were somewhere, and you're not. The somewhere where you thought you were is nowhere. Huh? And when you wake up, the nowhere that you think you are in becomes somewhere. The place where God puts you. Is that right? Can I say it like that? Is it entertaining to say it like that? Or does it help you to find your way into a true association with me in my mind, in association with the Master Teacher and Jesus and our Father, who's going, "You're dreaming, wake up, come on." Well, it's been saying since the beginning of time, isn't it? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." How can you do that? You can't. Because you're already perfect. Nothing that you can do that will make you yourself perfect. There's nothing that you can do about that. What's the statement of allegiance to this course? Huh? Not course. What's the statement of allegiance? The statement of allegiance to this course is, I'm doing it for you. I need you nothing. Because if you are perfect and whole, God created you, you need do nothing. So in that sense, it's not a difficult accomplishment, except for you. Because you have learnt, you've taught yourself that everything is difficult. That you have to struggle to understand what you think you perceive. You've taught yourself that you must struggle. You must remember everything that went before so that you can start to understand what you're perceiving here and now. Huh? That's what you've used your mind for. So that's why the mind change is necessarily a release from the past and your own past learning. I can read it to you. You can read it yourself. Or you can simply accept me here and now and laugh away the cause of something that has never been true. It's not true now and it never will be true. It's called a reunion of mind. The joy of an instant in which we recognize who we are as God created. And that's going to make you very happy, I promise. What have I got here? I've got, this is the heart, this is one of the sutras, the Heart Sutra. See if you can translate this from the line. I just want to give you, this is not, you know, anyone who has discovered the science of mind of awakening has recognized exactly what we're teaching. It's important for us to understand the emptiness of phenomena. Because all the problems and suffering experienced by us and other living beings stem from a mistaken view of reality. Through our ignorance of the true nature of phenomena, we develop the conceptual mind that holds phenomena to be inherently existent. I love this kind of stuff because it teaches you that if you perceive something, you will have a thought about it. And then, you know, then the question becomes, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? Everyone's trying to figure out the problem, the answer to the riddle, right? The chicken or the egg. The answer is they arrive simultaneously. You can't have one without the other, right? They are both false ideas that arise in your mind. The tiny mad idea which you've got to love is all you can ever experience here, isn't it? What is it? The thought of judgment? Yes, the thought of judgment. Which is why this is a course in the relinquishment of your judgmental process of perceiving something that cannot be perceived. Yet in your mind, you have to take notes so that you can remember conceptually
Well,
what you can't possibly understand.
Ha.
I'll give you a nice teaching you were saying to me. Said, what is sin? Conceptual thought. What are you going to do now? You're going to try not to have a thought. No. Good luck.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
This is a mind training. It's a training in, it's a mind training in recognizing the nature of perception. Through our ignorance of the true nature of phenomena, we develop a conceptual mind. Huh? Now, what are you going to say? Which holds all phenomena to be inherently existent. This mind is known as self-grasping. Can you translate that? Because it apprehends or grasps phenomena as having an inherently existent self or identity. The mind of self-grasping gives rise to all other delusions, such as anger and attachment, and is the root cause of all suffering and dissatisfaction. Therefore, if we wish to be free from suffering, we must abandon our self-grasping. You must lay down the burden of your conceptual process. Because it's an obstacle. Do you want me to read it? I can read it. I don't need to read it because it's true. You lay down the burden of your conceptual mind. Your mind will be free for a moment to remember what you forgot when the conceptual mind arose in your awareness. To realize emptiness and overcome our self-grasping, we must first receive correct instruction and then realize how our body and other phenomena are empty of inherent existence. This is directly, of course, in the one thing that you have difficulty with is recognizing the nothingness of the body that you made as a substitute for your own reality, because you believe that is your home and your identity. You believe it is yourself, and you love it, even though you made it to kill the mind. Oh, did I say that? That's what Jesus said, and it's true. Huh? Isn't that amazing? Huh? The difficulty you have in accepting this course is the difficulty you have in accepting the nothingness of the body. We should investigate whether we can find our body. Is this body that we cherish as my body the same as the parts of our body? Is our head, our arms, and so forth our body? Can we find a body that is different to the parts of our body? Through this investigation, we shall discover that we cannot find the body. But that's the science of mind that's contained in Buddhism. Why not? That's all the science of mind. Yeah? Well, if you look for the body, you'll find that it's not there. Yeah? So if you're looking for something that's not there, and you think you can find it.
So it's not nothing, as lesson number one says. Huh? You see it because it has value and meaning. That's A Course in Miracles. Huh? remove all value and meaning from it, seeing as nothing that it is, and it will disappear. Is that right? Because it did. And if it disappears, you cannot suffer from it. That's a miracle.
Deliver me. I don't usually play things like that.
Let's try that one. Sarah Brightson,
deliver me.
Hopefully, we've got you into a moment where you can enjoy the simplicity of it.
Thank you.
Master Teacher. Here we are once again for an eternal moment at God's country place. Which is your own, which is only your own place, that everywhere that you are, in the temporal certainty that you are as God created you. We are sharing the illuminate reality of the teachings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, out of body, in eternity, out of time, speaking to you of the certainty that you are in a dream of separation from which he has awakened. This is an integrating of his awakened mind with your sleeping mind, by which you will discover that you have been dreaming a dream of defensive self-containment in your effort to make real the apparent existence of this world through your bodily identity as somehow distinct from the single source of eternally creating life. So the Course in Miracles then is the awakening of you from your dream of death. Isn't that nice? Enough? We've got all kinds of goodies here. What else have we got? Oh, here we go. This is a good one. This is a transcript from It's Impossible to See Two Worlds. In an effort to find immediate correspondences with each other in regard to our body formulation concerning this unearthly Course in Miracles, a very simple fact of the matter is that you can make this decision. Comparison we are going to offer you concerning a particular title in regard to the objectivity of association that does not allow you to perceive instantly a new relationship that I would like to share with you is a simple indication that you suffer from an idea of splitness of your mind that does not allow you to perceive the instant communication that is possible in our sharing together. That's a long way of saying what we expressed earlier. So we use the particular title in reference to what we intend to do in this correspondence this morning. That correspondence is, I cannot see two worlds. What I have offered you is my certainty that the relationship that I am offering you in regard to our correspondence with each other in ideas of formulation of light energy that allow us to remain duplistic or dualistic in our ideas of ourselves, all right, have actually nothing at all to do with who we really are. That's all. It gets a little tricky when you're trying to translate it. I don't want to slow it down too much when you need to translate. Translate it? Hmm? You did translate it. Okay. That's fine. Oh, good. Oh, so that's it? Huh? Did you miss it? Did you go to sleep for a minute or something? What happened? Did you have a conceptual thought and you escaped from the timeless nature of what is a continual moment by moment reassociation of your mind
with your own resurrected mind.
That was it. I think you guys. I've got all kinds of good things here. Great magazine article on the evolution of the human eye. Oh, let's do a little Mary Baker Eddy. Because the one thing that Mary Baker Eddy discovered is that mind and matter are irreconcilable. The Christian mind, Christian science of mind. Yeah, she was a scientist. The mind, in her certainty. Yeah, spirit, whole and perfect, has absolutely nothing to do with the world. That's what you actually what she got. And how does healing occur? The healing has already occurred. Because you cannot be sick. You can't suffer. Unless you think you can. In which case, you will suffer. Huh? Is that right? Yeah. That's the responsibility of life. We are Christian scientists only as we quit our reliance upon that which is false and hold to the truth. We are not Christian scientists until we leave all for Christ. Human opinions are they come from the hearing of the ear, from corporeality instead of from principle, from the mortal mind instead of from the immortal. Spirit is not separate from God. Spirit is God. I love
it. I encourage you to read them.
So let's see one final. Actually, we're already done. You're already done. You want more? You want more? Do lesson 120. You want to do lesson 122? Forgiveness offers everything I want. What do you want? You're not sure. Let me think of it. I better be very careful about answering that question. Whatever you want, forgiveness will give it to you? No. It's a good question. What do you want? And you're answering that question all the time. You're answering that question all the time. Every instant, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, you're answering the question of what you want. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Do you want peace of God? Yeah? It's easy to say, isn't it? Any fool can say, I want the peace of God. Huh? Everyone is saying, I want the peace of God. Of course I want the peace of God. Like this lovely story of Rumi, you know, the guy lost his camel and then he found it. Weeks later, everybody's celebrating. Why is everybody celebrating so happy? Well, the guy found his camel. And then the next few days, all these other guys have lost their camel. So they lost, you know, they haven't really lost it, but they want to join the party. Everyone's saying, oh, that's cool, I want the peace of God. I've got a t-shirt. I have to wear them at the cheese factory. I want the peace of God. I think it said the holiest of all the spots on earth. There's an arrow pointing.
Oh, the holiest of all the spots on earth
is where an asshole has become perfect, whole, and complete.
That's a great. I didn't buy that t-shirt.
It was funny to me. Forgiveness offers everything I want.
thank God.
Yes.
Because contained in our association is your entire and complete awakening from the dream. And it's not difficult. It is here. It is now. It's immediate. It's too simple. It's already occurred. If you want it, you can enjoy it. You know, that's a practice. And the more that you go, wow, that feels
really good,
the more you want it. The more light you allow yourself to experience, the more you will be drawn out of the past and the darkness into the present reality of your true association with God, in which we are eternally bound in a continuing expansion of joy and happiness and laughter. What could you want forgiveness cannot do?
Do you want peace?
Easy to say,
but do you mean it? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, you can say, I want the peace of God, but do you really mean it?
If you mean that you want the peace of God, you will inevitably undergo a dark night of the soul. You will have a moment of complete terror in the undoing of the learned nature of your conceptual mind that taught yourself to perceive something that does not exist, that you projected from your mind as an obstacle to your own eternal mind, your own true association. I mean, I've just gone around the same idea because that's all we ever do here. We circle an instant and you can hook into it and get a ride out of time and reascend. All we do is ascend in an instant. We're willing to share together, and we lay down our defenses and our necessity to judge ourselves. In recognition that the body has any meaning or value or existence at all. It could be an obstacle to the singularity of our own whole mind. Forgiveness offers. Do you want happiness? Forgiveness offers. Do you want a quiet mind? Certainty of purpose? A sense of worth and beauty that transcends the world? Let me think about it. Do you want care and safety? Let me study that. Let me analyze this book and I'll tell you later whether I agree with it or not. Do you want care and safety and warmth and sure protection always? Do you want a quietness? Can never be disturbed, a gentleness that can never be heard, a deep comfort, the rest so perfect it can never be upset. All this forgiveness offers you, and more. The sparkles on your eyes and your way, gives you joy in just an instant, soothes your forehead while you sleep, and rests upon your eyelids so you see no dreams of fear in the void, malice and attempt. When you wake again, it offers you another day of happiness and peace. All this forgiveness offers you, and more. Forgiveness lets the veil be lifted up, but hides the face of Christ from those who look with unforgiving eyes upon the world. It lets you recognize the Son of God, and clears your memory of all dead thoughts. Remembrance of your Father can arise across the threshold of your mind. What would you want? Forgiveness cannot give you. What gifts but these are worthy to be sought? What fancied value, trivial effect, transient promise never to be kept, can hold more hope than what forgiveness brings? Why would you seek an answer other than the answer that will answer everything? Here is the perfect answer, given to imperfect questions, meaningless requests, half-hearted willingness to him, and less than halfway diligence, and partial trust. Here is the answer, seek no more. God's plan for your salvation cannot change, nor can it fade.
be thankful it remains exactly as it's planned. Changelessly, it stands before you like an open door, with warmth and welcome, calling from beyond the doorway, bidding you to enter in and make yourself at home where you belong. Here is the answer. You stand outside while all of heaven waits for you within. Give and be forgiven. As you give, you will receive. There's no plan but this, the salvation of the Son of God. Let today rejoice because this is so. But here we have an answer, clear and plain. Beyond deceit and its civilization. Do not turn away in aimless wandering again. Accept salvation now. It is the gift of God, not the world. God wills salvation be received today, and that the intricacies of your dreams no longer hide their nothingness from you. Open your eyes today and look upon a happy world of safety and of peace. Forgiveness is the means by which it comes to take place of hell. In quietness it rises up to greet your open eyes and fill your heart with deep tranquility. Ancient truths, forever newly born, arise in your awareness. And what you will remember then can never be described. Yet your forgiveness offers it to you. Paragraph 12. Before the light you will receive today, the world will fade until it disappears. You will see another world arise, have no words to picture. Now we walk directly into light. We receive the gifts that have been held in store for us since time began, waiting for today. Forgiveness offers everything you want. Today I have accepted this as true. Today I will receive the gift of that.
Oh.
sounded like a Course in Miracles.
To learn the simple lesson that you didn't want to hear, that will relieve you from the necessity of crucifixion.
Thank you. Thanks for showing up.
This is a continuing adventure, so don't go anywhere. It's continuing.